Viewpoint on Mormonism, the program that examines the teachings of The Church of Jesus Christ of Latter-day Saints from a biblical perspective. Viewpoint on Mormonism is sponsored by Mormonism Research Ministry. Since 1979, Mormonism Research Ministry has been dedicated to equipping the body of Christ with answers regarding the Christian faith in a manner that expresses gentleness and respect. And now, your host for today's Viewpoint on Mormonism.
Welcome to this edition of Viewpoint on Mormonism. I'm your host, Bill McKeever, founder and director of Mormonism Research Ministry. With me today is Eric Johnson, my colleague at MRM. We are wrapping up our long study of the book, Mormon Enigma, Emma Hale Smith by Linda King Newell and Valene Tippetts Avery. And we thank you for your comments regarding this series. A number of you have written to say how much you enjoyed us going through this historical adventure in the early years of Mormonism. If there's one thing that we take away from this study, though, it seems to me, Eric, that there is no doubt that the authors have done their homework in showing, most specifically, that Joseph Smith did in fact practice plural marriage.
And now we can see why the people at the head of the church decided not to allow them to speak to the church congregations, because this is not positive PR, what they've written.
Joseph Smith's behavior during this time period certainly does not seem to reflect what we might expect from a prophet of God. The fact that he is taking on these plural wives behind the back of his wife, the fact that he is at times lying about it, certainly does not show us a character of Joseph Smith that I think most Mormons think he had. It's a side of Joseph Smith I'm sure that the correlated manuals are never going to really touch, at least not in any great amount of detail. The amazing thing about this is that Emma, towards the end of her life, vehemently denies that plural marriage ever took place, which is just amazing to me. I mean, why not just admit it? Is she really feeling so indebted to Joseph Smith that she has to somehow try to protect his honor by denying that he was doing this? It's kind of puzzling, but she certainly does deny towards the end of her life that this practice ever went on. In fact, in chapter 22 of the book, the two authors title it The Last Testimony. And for instance, they talk about how Parley Pratt Jr. visited her and asked a number of questions. Emma's answers were forthright and to the point.
Yeah, Parley P. Pratt asks, "Do you believe that your husband, Joseph Smith, died true to his profession?" She replied, "I believe he was everything he professed to be." Pratt asked, "Did he have any more wives than you?" She says, "No, not to my knowledge." He asked, "Did he receive the revelation on plural marriage?" "Not to my knowledge," she repeated.
Okay, so here she is outright denying that Joseph Smith either practiced plural marriage, had more wives, or received a revelation on plural marriage. But as we've seen, the authors have meticulously documented the fact that that was not the case, that she's not telling the truth later on in her life. But she seems to be pretty consistent about that, because the authors also talk about, on page 300, that in February of 1879, Alexander and Joseph Smith traveled to a cold, snowy Nauvoo to interview their mother. Louis Biedemann, who regarded Emma as one of the noblest and best women that ever graced the earth, was present in the sitting room of the Riverside Mansion when the two sons came for the interview. And they note that the original notes of the interview are still extant, so they still are in existence. But when they start asking their mother about polygamy, again, she denies that it ever went on. The middle of page 301, they say, "What about the revelation on polygamy? Did Joseph Smith have anything like that? What of spiritual wifery?"
She replied, "There was no revelation on either polygamy or spiritual wives." And then the authors say the question had not been about patriarchal marriage or the new and everlasting covenant or any of the other code words for the system early church leaders instigated. Her answer continued, "There were some rumors of something of the sort, which I asked my husband. He assured me that all there was of it was that in a chat about plural wives, he had said, well, such a system might possibly be if everybody was agreed to it and would behave as they should, but they would not. And besides, it was contrary to the will of heaven. She continued, no such thing as polygamy or spiritual wifery was ever taught publicly or privately before my husband's death that I have now or ever had any knowledge of. Then they ask, did he not have any other wives than yourself? She said, he had no other wife but me, nor did he, to my knowledge, ever have.
The authors go on to say, the answer is partly in keeping with Emma's view. If she believed Joseph when he told her he would forsake all for her, it is also true in a legal sense, for no plural marriage could be seen as legal in the eyes of the law. Now, we hear that today because that's how modern-day polygamists treat this issue. They would say to you that they have many wives, but those wives are not legal wives. In other words, the first wife is the legal wife. The plural wives are married in a ceremony, a religious ceremony. They are not recognized by the state. So technically, according to the law, the polygamist is married to the first wife, and the other wives just happen to live in the house.
Mm-hmm.
And because they are considered single in the eyes of the state, if those women should become impregnated by that quote-unquote husband, they can file for benefits from the state as a single parent.
Warren Jeff's group, they actually had a term for that for Arizona and for Utah. It was called bleeding the beast. And so they justified it because, well, they're single women with these children. They don't have a husband, and they got maximum benefits because typically many of these women would stay at home and do the work around the house.
Going back to this interview with Alexander and Joseph Smith, the sons of Emma Smith, the authors say that Joseph pressed her more closely. Did he not, speaking of his father, did he not hold marital relations with women other than yourselves? And she says he did not have improper relations with any woman that ever came to my knowledge. The authors then say years earlier, Emma had established that she did not pretend to have knowledge of anything that she did not witness herself. The choice of improper relations rather than marital relations also indicates that she may have been sidestepping her son's questions very adeptly.
Yeah. Yep.
Wow. Well, it's just amazing to me.
Well, I mean, I'm thinking, well, maybe she didn't see it, but I know one she supposedly saw was Fanny Alger.
Rolling around in the hay with her husband.
Yeah, and I mean, she could deny that that happened, but that's one she supposedly saw, whether she didn't see the other acts take place.
Now, as we close out this series, I want to point out that the Mormon Church really did make some concerted effort to show Emma Smith was not telling the truth. This came out in the Historical Record, which was a monthly periodical, and it was published by Andrew Jensen, who was the Mormon historian. Let me just read you the section under plural marriage, and this is what it says. As a number of apostates and other opponents of the truth are continually attempting to deny certain facts connected with the introduction of plural marriage among the Latter-day Saints by Joseph Smith, the prophet, it has been deemed proper, in connection with our other historical labors, to compile and republish in The Record, which is the title of this publication, the following statements, testimonies, affidavits, etc., from truthful and reliable parties who have been eye and ear witnesses to the circumstances and incidents of which they speak, and also to add new proofs and testimonies of those already made public. Now, what Andrew Jensen did is he compiled these testimonies of people who knew for a fact plural marriage was going on. So he had them testify and got these notarized statements for them, and he compiles them in this historical record. Some of them were actually from the plural wives themselves, like Lucy Walker Smith, who make it very clear that they were married to Joseph Smith. In fact, Lucy Walker Smith comes out and says that Emma knew about some of them, at least. She knew about at least the Partridge sisters and the Lawrence sisters. Now, did that not really happen? It seems like the evidence points to the fact that Emma knew very well about at least those four women that were married to her husband.
I think the record, not only of these two ladies, but also of the other books we've been quoting this entire series, including In Sacred Loneliness, would say very clearly, the historians would say Emma was not telling the full truth there.
I find fascinating in the list that Andrew Jensen put together, because he does list a number of these plural wives, that he includes in the list Fanny Alger.
Yeah.
Now, this is a church publication. Now, remember, I was saying earlier in a previous broadcast how the list of wives that I ran off the computer downtown in the Joseph Smith Memorial Building did not include Fanny Alger as one of the wives. Now, certainly there's disagreement among Mormon historians about her, but as we've also said, the list or the length of the list is different depending on the historian who's doing the research. And also some of the names are different. In other words, not everyone comes to the same conclusion. But this is what we do know, folks. We do know that Joseph Smith had at least 33 plural wives.
And at least 10 of them were teenagers.
At least 10 of them were teenagers. And as young as 14.
We saw past week we talked about Helen Mar Kimball. Not only that, we know at least 10 of them were married to other men.
In other words, Joseph Smith was involved in polyandrous relationships. There is nowhere in Mormon scripture, there's nowhere in the Bible that polyandrous relationships is ever condoned, and certainly not commanded. But yet we know for a fact that Joseph Smith did marry several women who had living husbands. Most of them were in 1842.
I would say this is a great book. And if you want to know more about Mormon history, we've not touched on every chapter. But no. Read Mormon Enigma. You can get it at the Utah Lighthouse across the street from the ballpark. But I would read it and determine if this is true. Do you still want to follow a prophet like Joseph Smith?
Really, when you look at the character of Joseph Smith, as been brought out by these Mormon authors, certainly his claim to be a prophet of God becomes very suspect.
Thank you for listening. If you would like more information regarding Mormonism Research Ministry, we encourage you to visit our website at www.mrm.org, where you can request our free newsletter, Mormonism Researched. We hope you will join us again as we look at another viewpoint on Mormonism. Let me ask you this. Have you ever wondered how to answer questions you were asked by your LDS friend? Well, a new resource by Kriegel Publishers and written by MRM's Bill McKeever and Eric Johnson is exactly what you need. Answering Mormons' Questions is a 300-page book covering 36 common questions that Mormons often pose. Now you'll have the ability to respond to them with sound biblical reasoning. The book includes a glossary of common LDS terms and has study questions at the end of each chapter. Questions such as, wouldn't you like to have your marriage and family endure for all eternity? And what's wrong with praying about the Book of Mormon are dealt with in a straightforward but loving manner. Available at the Utah Lighthouse Bookstore, 1358 West Temple in Salt Lake City. Or if you prefer, you can order online at mrm.org. That's mrm.org. Answering Mormons' Questions. It's a resource every Christian needs.